All right, good. Now, but first, before the good speakers, I'm going to preach. So, and then we'll have some good ones. So, appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate being here. Appreciate all of you. Remember, Bob's selling raffle tickets. You can hire Bob relatively cheap normally, but this is even cheaper. So if you buy a raffle, when's the drawing, Bob? Okay, he's going to draw the raffle ticket tomorrow, and all the proceeds from that, you can get Bob for 8 hours to do any work that you don't want to do yourself. And so support us in that. Ministers of the New Covenant, perfecting the saints. Perfecting the ministers of the New Covenant. One of the things that becomes imperative when you're sent to do an assignment is to know what the objective is. Now, God gives us some objectives, and He enters into a covenant with us as covenant partners. So we need to understand the covenant. Now, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. As Rob brought out yesterday, we are covenant partners in the covenant of Abraham, because of the seed that is Christ. Now, if you'll read with me Genesis chapter 12 in the first 5 verses. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Let's pray. Almighty God, there are foundational issues. In order for us to be effective ministers of the New Covenant, that we understand the covenant. Father, to be able to carry out our partnership with you. Father, not a silent partner, not a partner who is just along for the ride, but you have entered into a covenant agreement and have made us ministers of the New Covenant. Now, I tell you, be with us this morning as we consider these things. Father, as we examine our ministries, as each one of us is called to minister, that is to serve in some area. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. The agreement with a covenant relationship is more than a promise. A covenant relationship involves vows. Kind of a common nomenclature of this is the covenant of marriage. See? But I don't want to use that too much because it seems like the popular concept of marriage is rather transitory. Marriages are entered into, it seems, more as a contract based on convenience. You see, a covenant is not based on circumstances. A covenant is based on character. The Bible demonstrates to us the character of God. We, through God, demonstrate to the world God's character. Entering into that covenant. Now, contracts are always based on conditions. If you don't like the work that Bob does, you can ask for your raffle ticket money back. That's a contract. But the idea of covenant between God and His people is one of the most important concepts in the Bible. Biblical covenants do at least four things. The first thing a biblical covenant will do is identify sin. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. A biblical covenant will identify sin. Through the law is the knowledge of sin. We have to know what sin is. A biblical covenant will, in some way, some fashion, and the completion of the covenant will eliminate, but in the beginning, it at least attempts to identify and to somewhat restrain sin. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate and the ungodly and for sinners and for the unholy and profane and for murderers of fathers and for murderers of mothers and manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has committed to my trust. A biblical covenant will identify sin. It will in some way or fashion restrain or in the new covenant eliminate sin. It will reveal man's need for forgiveness of sin. Isaiah 59. It reveals man's need for forgiveness. The last thing that a biblical covenant does is it leaves mankind with hope. I don't mean wish for, but assurance in because of the covenant relationship. Romans chapter 5 in the first 11 verses talks about that hope. And that's not I hope, in that I wish. It's that I have the assurance that this covenant relationship between God and I is going to be carried out. Regardless of the circumstances. How often do we base our trust in God based on our circumstances? See, God must really want Bob and I to go to Belarus because we've got all the money that we need. Well, that's not true. See? Well, we're going to leave on Wednesday. We've got the tickets bought. But it's like Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, wrote home and said, "We're doing great. We've got 25 cents and all the promises of God." You know, covenant's not based on circumstances. A covenant is based on the promises of God. Now, there are promises between God and His people. Those are covenants. And there's multiple covenants. There's also the type of covenant that God has made a promise unequivocally. Look at one of those covenants in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said in His heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." Somebody email this to Al Gore, would you? Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant which I make between you and me, every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I will set my rainbow in the clouds. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh of the earth." Now, was this pre-law covenant nailed to the cross? Or is it still in effect? Still in effect. We still see the rainbow, right? Now, the pre-law covenant with Abraham, see, was it nailed to the cross? It was still in effect. Still in effect. Same covenant. Now, our covenant with Abraham entails that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we believe God, it will be accounted to us as righteousness. That's why Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness, and he is known as the father of the faith. Now, Abraham was blessed by God in every way imaginable. However, if you think about it, God really did ask Abraham to do some unreasonable things. When you apply human logic to this covenant, it seems as though there are some things here that are contrary to human reason. I'm really glad Abraham wasn't one of these guys who said, well, we've never done it that way before. But leave your country. Leave your home. Leave your comfort. Leave your familiar surroundings. This is a concept that is not particular to Abraham. This is a concept that defies human reason based on the promises of God. Moses at the Red Sea. David and Goliath. Daniel and the lion's den. So you've got to read these things and put yourself in the account. Hosea and Gomer defies human reason. And yet, so often, we want to reason things out. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a plan. Certainly we should have a plan. But realize that it is God who directs our steps. And He directs our steps based on a covenant relationship. Now, God tells Abram, leave your father's house. It's about time. I mean, age 75. You know? I mean, Marshall's still hanging around, and he's 21, and I'm getting antsy. Well, I mean, maybe, Abe worked for his dad, and, you know, but he's 75. I got to looking around the other day, and we've been living north of Wauseon for 14 years, and I got to searching for something in the basement, and I thought, how do we accumulate all this junk? And that was 14 years. Abraham has been in the same spot for 75 years, living in his dad's house. I ended up taking a big U-Haul. But Abraham was so, why don't you go, and I'll tell you where. But okay, Mary Jo, we're moving. Where to? I don't know. God hadn't told me. And he doesn't even tell it. I mean, he doesn't even put it in the garment where they're going. You know, I need the lady in the garment to tell me which turn to make. You know, I'll find my way out of Wauseon. Yeah, one more generation, nobody will be able to read a road atlas. You know that? Be useless. God doesn't even tell him where to go. Belarus, Burma, Brazil, Boston, Boom Center, Bell Fountain. What? God said, well, you go, and I'll show you. Bob was still in the airport. Well, I don't know. That is scary stuff. I don't know. You don't even think about it.
You know, being asked to leave and not being told where to go, I don't care where you go, just leave. It's scary. I've been asked that. I've also been told where to go, too. Sometimes, my point is, sometimes God's going to ask us to go places and do things that do not seem logical to those in the world. But I would rather be right in God's eyes than in the world's eyes. That is exactly where I believe that the strength of the covenant is tested. That's when you'll find out for sure, when you're put to the test, whether it is simply preference or conviction. See, because if it's a preference, circumstances are going to dictate my preference. But if I have a conviction to the covenant, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I'd rather be in the center of God's will and depend on the wisdom of God in the deepest, darkest pit you can imagine than in the Hilton with the devil. God, through His Word, not because we get a wild hair, I don't confuse this with nut jobs. That's not what I'm talking about. But God, through His Word, may ask us to do some things that just don't make sense to us. This is not the way I do it. But think about it. The world is always doing stuff that don't make sense to us. They're asking us to accept it. He asks us, think about your circumstances. Think about the economy. Think about our political system. Think about Belarus. Or don't think about anything. It's your option. But what God asks us to do, regardless of our circumstances, is to expect a blessing. Now, are you walking around expecting a blessing, or are you expecting the worst to happen? He says to Abraham, he says, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Well, that's just as much of the covenant now. Is that our expectation? And if it is, tell your face. I bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Are you a blessing to all the families of the earth, or are you the condemning factor? Do you expect a blessing when your marriage is broken? You think Sarah and Hagar didn't put a strain on that marriage? You think that negated the covenant somehow? The circumstances? Or is it still under the covenant to be a blessing? Do you expect a blessing when your spouse dies? Sarah died. Abraham said, well, you know, I guess the covenant's over. I'll cash in the chips here. Or did God still have a purpose? Then your parent dies. Abraham's father dies in Haran. Expecting a blessing? Expect a blessing when your child dies? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, Abraham, offered up his only begotten son. He received the promises, expect a blessing, offering up his only. Regardless of the circumstances, God said, I will bless you. The point is that we need to believe more, not try harder. Trying harder wouldn't have done anything for Abraham in that circumstance, but believing God more was the key. We need to believe more, stop trying harder, because God and I are in a blood covenant. If you're laying awake at night worrying about your circumstances, close your eyes and think about the covenant. See, because we're in a covenant relationship that we can have security. Now, God tells Abraham, he says, now look, I'm going to make you a great nation. 75 years old. Sarah's old. She's barren. The Lord tells him, we're going to bless you. Boy, isn't the Church of Christ a mess? Little old groups spread all over the country, you know. I don't know how anything's ever going to come of a movement like this where we can't get our act together. See, and until we understand the covenant, that's the reality of the situation. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know that you are the apple of God's eye, see, God says, I'm going to bless you. God says to Abram, leave your livelihood. Get away from your family. Go on down the road. Lord, you know what the economy is. Can you get me a job if this one goes belly up? Can you please let me see where I'm falling to? Wait a minute. We're in a covenant. Abram could take what he could carry. There was a purpose higher than his livelihood. Who he was did not depend on what he did. Who he was did not depend on his occupation. And who he was did not depend on the quote-unquote success or failure of his ministry. Because the success or failure of his ministry is the covenant relationship, not how many notches he puts on his gun belt. Or not how pure he keeps the flock. The victory is in the relationship. See, the covenant then identifies for Abraham ancestral lands and property. By leaving his father's household, he was giving up his inheritance and his right to family. By coming out of the world, we are giving up that inheritance and giving up that right to the family. Romans 6:4 says, being buried with Jesus through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too should walk in the newness of life. The Lord promises to make His name great. Abraham is just a country boy from Ur. He simply believes what God says. And God promises that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Abraham expected all this to take place.
What do you expect from your life? I mean,
well, Bob, I'd just be happy if we make it home safe.
See, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't walk by faith because we're too busy looking at the safety net. And again, I'm not talking about crazy things. I'm just talking about relying on the promises of God. I'm not talking about going beyond God's word or hearing voices in my head, you see, or saying, you know, or doing something that is good going and going to somehow benefit me and put a spiritual spin on it. I'm talking about the promises of God, the ones that are there in black and white. Not just going, but going with a purpose. See? Matthew 28:19-20, I'm sure you can all quote it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is part of the covenant. We need to expect that covenant to be fulfilled. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'll go with you always to the end of the age. Start next door. Start next door. How many of you have next door neighbors? Who are all qualified? You know how far down I live, they're next door. I'm saying they're next door down. Thou shalt be a blessing. Well, I just sat there and blessing people take advantage of me. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Maybe it would be a revolutionary idea to stop asking God for a blessing and to be the blessing ourselves. How many of my own prayers center around God, please bless me? You say, well, you know, I would if you get off your back, you know. If you go be a blessing, see, yeah. You're going to replant your soul. There's a principle here. God blesses us simply so we can bless others. My mom bought a Jeep when she was 85. Are you kidding me? It's not a Jeep. And she said, I don't suppose I'll live forever. She said, but while I do, I don't see why I shouldn't live as if I expected to. Well, you know, you may not be breathing in forever, but while you're here, I don't see why we shouldn't live as though we expected to, if we really do. If we really do have the idea that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Some people got a real chokehold on what they're passing through. Passing through and clawing all the way. The covenant transcends. We need to be convicted about the covenant. Just not have a preference of smoking or non-smoking eternally. But a conviction, see, based on the covenant. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. By the way, you know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch like that? Nothing.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now who is it
that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask? Are we in a covenant relationship with God? Is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? Then what is beyond our scope? What is beyond the scope of the Lord's people? What was beyond the scope of David's mighty men? What was beyond the scope of that struggling nation that came out of Egypt? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And this preaches in Bolivia, Bell Fountain, and Belarus. It doesn't have to be a white middle class group that says God will supply. You know, this preaches when people have real physical needs. If we want to apply this oftentimes in our heads, well, yeah, you know, we're pretty well fed, you know. I mean, I grumped around and complained yesterday about fasting, you know. Even day. You don't smell that pig, can't you? I don't mean me either. I mean the one who was cooking. But see, in a covenant relationship, we've got to understand that there's some things that are transitory here. There are things that are temporary here. This is not where our covenant relationship lies. This is not the end all and be all about what we have. Now, you can't preach the gospel to somebody that just had their arms amputated, like Steve was showing those pictures yesterday. You've got to stop the bleeding first. But that's not all. We had a guy down the roof while Jesus is teaching, and he's paralyzed, and his four friends think, they had to be thinking, well, let's get this guy healed. And what did Jesus do? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, this is your problem here, you know? Hey, and he's healed because of the guy. Well, what are the guys with the faith at that head in the roof thinking? They're really concerned about the guy's sin, or they're concerned about his lameness. Well, what does God see as the major problem, see? Now, if we get this covenant relationship, we are really ministers of the new covenant, then certainly we're not called to neglect or discount human suffering. That's not my point. But there's more. There are people who are not suffering physically who are going to hell just that fast. And you know them. We got some good news. If we believe these things in a covenant relationship, that God is willing to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, how much does he have? If we truly believe these things, why don't we expect them? Why shouldn't we believe in them? Why wouldn't we have the faith to expect them? Is the rainbow still there? Is God still faithful to his covenants? Okay, let's all try real hard to produce a rainbow. Is trying hard to fulfill the covenant? our covenant keeping appropriates God's blessing. Notice what Abraham did. He left immediately. He went, find a friend, ask for a 50-50, or write a letter to dear Abby. He didn't consult his horoscope. God said move, and he moved. God says go, and what do we do tomorrow? You know, we're going to have another meeting about evangelism tonight, so if you could be here, you know. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place where he would receive it as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. If he had not gone out, he would not have received what was promised. If we want the blessings of God, then we have to obey the Word of God. And we obey, not necessarily because we have to, but because we believe the promises of God. Because we believe the covenant, our lives are really promises in motion. Because we're partners with God in motion. Who else is qualified to be the direct connect of humanitarian aid? Who else? And if God is behind us, and if we really believe that, and if that's really the covenant relationship, then that makes a difference in everything else that I do. Sometimes God asks us to do things that are beyond human reason. All the time, God asks us to expect a blessing. And all of the time, our covenant keeping appropriates God's blessing. How far are you willing to trust or believe God to be ministers of the new covenant?